Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the My Sports Musing podcast. I'm Frank Diglio, and I'm your host. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the Yankees and what they did yesterday at the deadline, how they're affected by the other trades. We'll touch a little bit probably on the Mets at the end. I think the Yankees did well for themselves. Getting a player like Steven Drew, who's a sure-handed fielder, I think he has as much of a defensive wins above replacement in half the games as Brian Roberts. They had the same. Roberts was not a good fielder. He's a sure fielder, and quite honestly, between him, Kelly Johnson, if he ever came back, and Brian Roberts, it would be the smart money would be on Steven Drew having the best second half, because I know he's only hitting 176, but it was kind of like spring training. He's only played 39 games on the season after sitting out deep into the season, so he needed a little bit more time to get warmed up. You know, Brian Roberts and Johnson had the benefit of 6 weeks of working the kinks out of their swings and getting ready, and they still weren't particularly effective hitters. So I think getting a player like Drew was a really nice pickup for the Yankees for nothing. Kelly Johnson wasn't a good hitter. He was, you know, a lefty with decent power in Yankee Stadium, so theoretically it made sense, but it just didn't pan out the way the Yankees had hoped. As for the other acquisition, trading for Martin Prado, I think was a good deal. I think over the next 2 years, he makes $11 million a year. And while that seems like a little bit pricey because he's not a particularly great hitter, he's a very versatile fielder. You could play him in the corner outfield spots. You could play him at third base. You could play him at second base. So next year when A-Rod comes back, and he's coming back, and he's going to play, you can have Martin Prado at second base if you can't get a better second base addition. I think Ichiro comes off the books at the end of the year, so having Prado allows them to not focus as much also on the corner outfield spot if they make it a priority to shore up the middle infield with two better middle infielders. And so, but Prado gives them a lot of ways they can handle both this season, because he's a decent hitter, and into the off-season. His main addition this year for the team is going to be playing the outfield. Ichiro, since he started playing every day, his average has just plummeted. If you remember earlier in the year, he had, you know, he was hitting like through April. I mean, it wasn't many games because he didn't play every day. But through April, he was hitting like 360. It was really cool to see. It seemed like he was getting hits almost every time he was up. Now his average has dipped below 270. He's not getting on base very often, although even in his prime, his on-base percentage was never too much higher than his batting average. So, he needs some rest. You know, he's old. He's close to 40. He is 40. So, he needs to rest a little bit, and Martin Prado and him can platoon. They both hit lefties better than righties, which is weird for Ichiro, but at the same time, Ichiro's sample size against lefties is so small. So maybe you might see a little bit of a platoon. Ichiro can float around. He can play all the different outfield positions. You can give Gardner, Ellsbury a day off. Beltran can still play the field, so he has to stay in the DH slot. But I like this move a lot for the Yankees getting Prado. Like I said, it gives them a lot of freedom to do a lot of different things over the offseason. And they did trade Peter O'Brien, who was an infielder and a catcher, a decent prospect. If you look up this year, he had a 533 slugging. He didn't have particularly high average or on base, but, you know, to see that much power out of a kid who was just moving to AAA, who could catch, was, you know, you don't love trading those guys, but at the same time, the Yankees have McCann for 4 more years, and I know he's not playing well now, but it's unlikely that they're going to be needing a new catcher next 2 to 3 years, so trading a catching prospect who wasn't the best in their system for Prado isn't that big of a deal. They should be able to handle it fine. And now, with the other trades, I think getting Prado and Drew might have been not nearly as big as seeing Lester and David Price leave the division. The Yankees have all of September is division games. The Yankees have a lot of division games left. They were going to face Lester this series, and Lackey, also leaving the Red Sox, was huge, because the Yankees don't hit Lester. Don't really, they sometimes hit Lackey. They hit Lackey a little more than they hit Lester, and they don't really hit Price either. all three of them are now out of the division. If they when they play the Red Sox and the Rays down the stretch, which they do, they don't have to worry about seeing a pitcher who's lights out against them. Matt Moore is also already out for the season, but we knew that in April. So this really helps the Yankees, a team that struggles to hit, because three pitchers who they've had some issues with are now out. And if those September games, mean anything for the Yankees, they don't have to worry about facing them. And the Red Sox now, they've clearly blown it up. Although, if you were wondering, the answer to the question is yes, Yonas Cespedes will destroy the Yankees for the rest of the season. He will hit well over 300 against the Yankees, because that's just how that works. Anytime the Red Sox bring in a hitter from somewhere else, I just feel like they always hit the Yankees really hard. He's going to play for the Red Sox tonight, likely Friday, August 1st, and I wouldn't be surprised if he has a home run in the series, maybe two, and hits like 400 for the series. I just feel like that's how that usually ends up for the Yankees and the Red Sox. But overall, like I said, I think the Yankees, you know, they've traded for Brandon McCarthy, Chase Headley, Chris Capuano, Steven Drew, and Martin Prado. That's five guys, and they've only traded just Peter O'Brien, who's not a great prospect. He's a decent prospect, but that's the best prospect they traded to get those guys. That's great Brian Cashman, he's better at the deadline than he is over the offseason with trades. He's not very good over the offseason with trades. You can remember Javier Vasquez twice, Kevin Brown, Randy Johnson. You know, he's not, even in free agent signings over the offseason, he's pretty questionable. But at the deadline, you know, he gets guys like Pudge, he got Xavier Nady that one year, and Tomaso Marte, who was bad in 2008, but ended up being big in 2009 in the playoffs, if you remember. So, I think this is another good deadline year for Cashman. Hopefully he can parlay it into a good offseason, which, again, doesn't always happen with him. But, so now the Yankees are going to go forward, and they're not, they're not super in it in the sense that, you know, it's not like if the playoffs ended, they wouldn't be in the playoffs, and they're not in the best position to make the playoffs, but they're by no means out of it. They're only two games out of the second wild card spot, which is Toronto, and they're tied with Seattle and Kansas City in the loss column. So, and they're only five games out of the division. So all this is attainable. And like I said, down the stretch, the Yankees play almost entirely teams inside their division. So losing all those pitchers was huge. And they also play Kansas City in September. They play a three-game series hosting Kansas City, which could prove huge. They have the same record as Kansas City. And yeah, they end their season with hosting Boston for three, hosting Kansas City, hosting Tampa Bay. So it's a nine-game home game for them. And then they go at Baltimore for three, at Tampa Bay for three, and then they host Toronto for four, host Baltimore for four, and then they're at Boston for three. So the Yankees should be in a position to play themselves into the playoffs if necessary. Like, if unless they're completely out of it and it's just too far. Because they're playing all the teams in front of them. They play Toronto four times in the month, they play Baltimore seven times, and they get to play Tampa Bay and Boston, both of which have appeared to have given up. They play them six times each in the month. So that is, I mean, that's great news for the Yankees down the stretch. And like I said, those trades make it even better. And now, you know, the Yankees in August, they're looking at Boston, Detroit, Cleveland, and Baltimore all going to be tough. But then they have Tampa Bay, Houston, the White Sox. They have a makeup with Kansas City. And then Detroit and Toronto. So really, the Yankees are going to be playing mostly teams they're competing with for a playoff spots. And that's all you can ask for, you know, as a team competing for a playoff opportunity, is you want to play those teams so you can directly impact your playoff opportunity or your chances of getting into the playoffs. And I think the Yankees rotation, we're going to find out soon about Pineda. We might find out in a week or two if he's going to come back this year. We're going to find out in a week or two, hopefully, if Tanaka's going to get Tommy John. And those are the guys you're going to be waiting on. And if either of them can come back, especially Pineda, because like I said, I don't think Tanaka's coming back, even if he's not getting Tommy John. I will be shocked. But if Pineda comes back in the middle of August, that's almost like a great waiver acquisition that the Yankees could use. And, you know, he was lights out. I know the whole Pintar thing, but if he's just a little bit more discreet about it, because every pitcher uses pine tar. If he can pitch like he did before he went on the DL, that would be such a huge pickup for the Yankees. It'd be unbelievable. They might move Capuano back to the bullpen, There's a lot of different ways they can go if he comes back and pitches well. We're going to find out soon if that's the case. If that's the case, the Yankees should be very optimistic about their chances of actually getting into the playoffs. Like I said, they're only two games out, so it's of the second wild card spot, so it's not the end of the world. And then they can choose any of their pitchers. And in a one-game playoff, even though it's going to be in Los Angeles against the Angels, which is a house of horrors for the Yankees over these last decade and a half, it's not impossible to win there. And the Yankees have to look at it and say they've gotten into the Angels' home and won this year. So it's not impossible. It doesn't matter who they play. Garrett Richards, they do have problems with. So if he pitches, that could be an issue. But the Yankees want to get to that opportunity first. And just a quick note on the Mets. I like the inaction. I think, you know, I don't think they're still building the team. So trading for a player, I know they're not really out of the playoff race yet, but they're still building the team. The team isn't built. So to try to go for it this year and waste prospects and to have a slightly better chance of making the playoffs but still not a good chance wouldn't have really made sense to me. It's almost like they have the house is being built, and if they would have traded for somebody now, it would have like installing the TVs and the furniture while the construction workers are still working on all the walls and stuff. You know, you could try to live there at the time, but it's not really a good idea. It's more recommended to wait. Next year, Harvey's coming back. Wheeler's going to be a year older. Syndergaard's going to have likely his first full year in the major leagues. I think the Mets are going to have really good pitching. They could trade one of their young pitchers, almost definitely not Harvey. They could trade either Wheeler or Syndergaard for a great hitter. The one Mets fans want, but might not be that likely, is Giancarlo Stanton. The Marlins might hold on to him for a year or two more because he is just out of this world amazing. Or they can go after Tulowitzki, who I hope the Yankees go after too. There could be a bidding war between the two New York teams over the offseason. But if it comes down to that, and I said this last time, the Mets are going to win. The Mets have better prospects to offer, especially because they have Syndergaard, who is a top-flight pitching prospect. So unless the Yankees just throw the entire farm system at Colorado and say, pick four guys that you want and you can have them, I think it might be really difficult for the Yankees to get him, unless he tries to force his way to the Yankees instead of the Mets. But it's not like basketball or football where he can, or really just basketball where he can do that. He's signed for 5 or 6 more years, so what is he really going to do? He's not going to retire. He'll show up and play. And so that's really it for the Mets. Like I said, I think it was a good job by them. I was curious to see if they were going to make a move. They wanted to be buyers, but as much as it would have sent a nice message to the fans for their long-term future, they were better off not doing anything crazy. If they could have done something small, you know, and look, they could still claim someone off waivers in August and maybe they make a run, but, you know, the claiming people off waivers, they'll either just be given the player or, you know, they'll have to trade for him then, but I think it was a good idea to do this. And that's going to wrap it up for today. Like I said, my name is Frank Diglio. You can follow me on Twitter at Nelly Bly Stunad. That's NELLIEBLYSTUNAD. That's where I am on Twitter. You can email the show at mysportsmusing@gmail.com. And you can leave comments in the comment section of the blog. Thanks, and have a great weekend.